Welcome aboard, elevator enthusiasts and curious minds alike. You're tuned in to the Going Up Podcast, the ultimate destination for all things elevators. I'm your host, Zara Shea Julay, and I am joined by the dynamic duo of elevator aficionados, Bobby Haskett and Josh Anderson. Get ready for a joyous journey into the vertical world, where we'll be lifting the lid on elevator stories, chatting with industry experts, and exploring the cutting-edge innovations that keep us all moving on up. This is the Going Up Podcast, your weekly pass to the heights of elevator excitement. Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Going Up. We're excited to have another week, another great topic to talk about. Now, I'll give a little notice that today we are going to be talking about something that deals more specifically with elevators. So those people who are out there listening, that you're in the elevator world, this one's for you, and I promise you're not going to want to miss it, because this episode is literally going to save you thousands of dollars in the future. And we all want to save money. We don't want to lose money, so we're all on the same page. Okay, wow, okay. I think our producer's going to have to bring that sucker down or mute it entirely. Okay, guys, so today we're going to be talking, it's such a hard P too, it was such a hard P. Today we're going to be talking about cab shell construction. So the construction of the shell of your actual elevator and how important it is to know that information. And so and to give that information to people like us, your vendors for the cab interior portion, but as well as a lot of different facets, need to know this information, because if you get it wrong, if that information is given incorrectly, it can cost a lot of money and it can cost time. So we all know time and money is the most valuable things there. Bobby, I know that you are passionate about this topic. I know you're hugely passionate about this topic. We talk about this in our sales meetings often. This gets drilled into all of our heads, and we're always up in our game in terms of knowledge of, sometimes there are new things that we discover, new information that we get told of different cab shell constructions. So we're going to talk about all those things today here on this podcast. So let's first just talk about let's give an overview. Bobby, I'm gonna toss the ball to you. Talk to me a little bit of an overview of, are there a lot of cab shell constructions out there? What's going on here? Why is it important?
I just caught that ball, Z, and here's what I'm gonna do. I am gonna talk about it, and I am very passionate. Where my passion really comes from this is, over the years of me being in the elevator industry, I've seen many, many, many reps get burnt by this. So I'm very passionate that all the customers that we work with, we go out of our way to ensure, sometimes to the point of frustrating our customer, maybe at times, to make sure that they don't have a skeleton cab construction. So one thing that you'll see up on the screen, first and foremost, is going to be our top 10 tip. And our top 10 card is basically what is going to be your 10 items that you always need to pay attention to when you're in the field. And, you'll see on there that we ask for pictures. Pictures are so, so important. The main reason for that is with our trained eye, we're looking for obstructions. We're looking for, identifiers to a skeleton cab. And, for those of you out there that we'll just go ahead and start with a skeleton cab construction. What that is for you all that's driving down the road, is if you can think of what a house looks like as they're building it and it's framed up, but you can walk in between the walls because it's totally open, that is what we call a skeleton cab. You're going to find these a lot in some Dovers. I mean, about every manufacturer has made them. Otis, But one of the big, huge red flags that you'll see is they have really large rivets about the size of a dime in the bottom, in the corners. And sometimes if the cab's a larger cab, it'll have those big rivets along the baseline as well. Now, I was
just for listeners as well, because I know that we use the term skeleton cab, but I know certain people use different terms. I know that there's like frame cab, stick cab. Is there any other terms that you've heard these called, Bobby?
Well, or Josh? Pain in the butt's what I've heard, but okay. Josh, yeah, do you have any on your end?
I've heard stick cab.
Yeah.
Stick cab. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think those are the main ones that you guys may have heard those terms. It's all the same, the skeleton cab, all the same type of construction. The elevator industry, we have a terrible or great habit of calling the same thing like 10 different names. So this is an example of that.
Yeah.
And so what you'll see, you know, in this particular picture is, you'll find most of the time in these skeleton cabs, the factory OEM design that comes from the factory are going to be your vertical panels. Okay. What you see in this picture is you'll see what's called key locks, and you'll see them about every couple feet, 3 foot. They're a bracket system that has a key lock on it that comes around, and they have a stud on the back of the panel where it allows you to put it in and slide it down. The biggest mistake we find is that a lot of the reps think in their mind, hey, Bobby, a vertical system's going there now. I want to order a vertical system. Mm-hmm. And every time, our rule here internally at Fabicab is every single time that someone wants a vertical system, we ask a couple different times in a couple different ways, are you sure it's not a skeleton cab? Now, And I know that there's some people out in the audience right now that might be thinking in their mind, well, how do I know if it's a skeleton cab? Well, the best way to find that out is to have a mechanic or a technician be able to pop the doors open, get on top of the cab and look over the side of the cab, and you will find very, very easy to spot that panel as the cab shell wall. Now, I don't want you to get confused between that and an all wood cab, because what the difference is you're going to see those frames that are metal in between the panels. That's how you know if it's a skeleton cab or not. Now, I'm going to pull another picture up to tell you how we here at Fabicab combat that, okay? We always recommend doing a horizontal system. Mm-hmm. And one thing that's really, really cool about us is we have a Generation 3 bracket. And this bracket, as you can all see on your screen right now, it runs left to right the full width of the panel minus an inch and a half. What that allows you do is it allows you to pick up those studs along the way when you're fastening, so there is no added labor, no added material that is needed for our cabs to work in this.
Okay, stop right there, Bob, because I think that's an important thing. Exactly what you said. No added labor, no added material. So what happens, you know, you're talking about that sales rep that, hey, we have vertical panels in here right now. Let's just replace like for like. They take off those vertical panels. They see these holes, which to me kind of look like a picture frame almost.
Yep.
What happens? What do they got to do? What's the solution?
Well, the solution is if they have ordered a vertical system and we have exhausted every ounce of energy of asking them the right questions, and we either A, don't get the right questions, or they have verified it not to be a skeleton cab, here's what happens. You're going to receive our vertical system that comes with templates and brackets already installed. And typically what happens is they got to go to a local sheet metal shop and infill all of those panels to make a flat flush plane for you to mount those verticals to. And I can tell you, folks, I promise you it will only take one of those jobs to burn you before you will never do that again.
Yes, but because you have, not only are you losing money on the job, because then you're having to, you know, you have what you originally quoted, but now you're having to buy materials, you're having to put in labor for that. But then on top of it, one of my mantras in life is happy tech, happy life.
Yes.
you're going to get an angry technician that says, why didn't you account for this? Why didn't you? Because it's going to mess up their scheduling and stuff like that. So it's just adding stress. It's adding money. It's adding time. All the things that you don't want to add to a project once it's ready to be installed. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And for the reps out there, I really want you to hear this from us. Sometimes you can get a little annoyed by us asking you multiple questions about the project. Mm-hmm. But know that it is always to ensure that the project goes well for you. Because no matter if you ran into a skeleton cab or not, and you didn't get us the pictures, and you said that it was verified not to be a skeleton cab, it's only going to take one of those projects to go through before everybody inside your organization and your office thinks that it's not good, or we're not going to do cabs because they're not profitable. We lose money on them. And that is why it is so, so important to follow that top 10 card that we've put up on the screen earlier, to be able to walk through that. And I will say this, obviously we would love for everyone in the industry to come to us for elevator interiors, but I will tell you this, please, even if you're ordering from our competitors, use the top 10 card. It's going to save you from crashing a job on the margin.
Yeah, I hear this a lot in podcasts, so I'm going to assume it's something we can do, and our producer will probably, I don't know, scold me later for saying this. There'll be a link to the top 10 card in the show notes.
Yes.
I don't know if that's an option, but yes. But one, our producer is giving me the thumbs up. So we are going to have a link in the show notes to that top 10 card. And I'm telling you guys, keep that on your phone. I've had so many people that have utilized that and it has saved them on so many jobs. And it's not just for Fabricab. It's literally any cab interior vendor that you use. They keep it on their phone. They have a printout. They keep it in their binder when they're going doing surveys, whatever. Keep it with you. And the number one thing, what's the number one thing on there, Josh? What's the number one thing on the top 10 card?
Pictures.
That's right. The pictures, they're worth 1,000 words. Why do we ask for those, Josh? What experience do you have with that?
Pictures. For us, it's allowing us to be in the cab with them when we can't be there with them in person. So anything that they may be overlooking, we can help catch. As Bobby mentioned before, the rivets at the bottom, that's just a dead giveaway for a skeleton cab. But it's just wildly important for us to be able to put our eyes, it's just a second set.
Yes. Say it louder for the people in the back. Yes. Pictures, 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 everybody. I know my people, most of my people, you know, they'll send pictures with their stuff, with, you know, their quote requests and things. But sometimes when you get somebody that doesn't send you a picture, you're just like, listen, I'm going to lean in like Bobby does when he gets real serious and wants to say something poignant. Listen, everybody. Send me pictures, because I will be able, and all of the sales reps, we will be able to spot things that you can't, that you don't spot. Because when you, especially for sales reps, when you're walking into an elevator, you guys are looking at 3,000 things. We're looking at 30 that are really going to, you know, that are going to affect the install. We're the experts on that. So let us be the experts. You don't have to be, because you have people like us that you can lean on, you can rely on. And hopefully you have people like that throughout all the vendors that you guys work with, you know, that you have. And if you don't have that, build that with people. Build those trusting relationships where you can reach out to somebody and be like, hey, I've never seen this before. This looks funky. Can you tell me what your thoughts are? You know, what should I be thinking about this? Because Josh, Bobby, me, all the sales reps, we get those calls all the time. And I would much rather you call me when you're quoting it or when you're taking a gander at it than when material has been delivered and I'm getting a call from a technician asking why things don't fit or why this is like this. So pictures. Cannot emphasize it enough.
Yeah. And something else I want to talk about, you know, this is just one of the cab constructions that we're talking about. The next one I'm going to talk about is a wood shell. That is, that's pretty common. They come with laminate already faced on them. A couple things that you want to remember when you encounter these is wood is no problem for us. We send the appropriate screws, our Gen 3 system. All of our bracketry system works great on a wood shell cab. You know, we have a lot of requests that they want to know if they can just order laminate sheets and re-laminate just the laminate on there. And I'm going to give you the best advice you're going to hear today. Don't ever do it. You will always see dust underneath of it. If the OEM laminate is not adhered properly, we stay away from it. We will not do that because one thing that we're really good about is not setting our customer up for failure. And we just won't do it. We get that request, I would say, 3 or 4 times a month. And we just don't do that. So it's good to identify the wood shell, and you'll see that on our surveys, we ask what the cab construction is. Now, yeah. Before we go into some more different styles of cabs, I do want for everyone to hear this out there. A lot of our territories, we measure for the customer. We're happy to do that. And just because we measure in the inside, measurements are good. We can all have a bad day. The reason I'm bringing that up is we will always come back and do the approval drawings and forward those on to you. I recommend always to have a mechanic or a superintendent review those on site, not just to check our measurements. But we're not allowed by law to pop the doors and get on top of a cab, nor do I want any of my team doing that for safety reasons.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's no way to really know what kind of cab construction you have until you get that field verification of the approval drawings. Now, here's the good news. And we've seen this a couple times already this year. They've sold a vertical system. They checked that it was an all metal steel cab shell. Mm-hmm. And when the mechanic or superintendent went out to field verify it, they realized that it was a skeleton cab. So yeah. The good news about that is we caught it early enough on the approval drawing process that allows us to make some adjustments on the back end. And I can tell you, yes, it's probably $600-$700 more for a horizontal system. But I promise you, it's way less money than if you had to skin that whole entire inside of the cab, burn a days of your team labor, and so yeah. forth. So, you know, we preach it a lot. Field verify it, guys. Field verify it. I'm not worried about my measurements, but we all have bad days. It's not just about the measurements. I want everybody to know that because I think that gets left out a lot, Z. You know, and some of our customers that we speak with, they're like, Bobby, you were out there. If it looked good to you, it looks good to me. And I say, hey, we have to identify the cab construction of that.
That, and it goes back to what Josh mentioned earlier, like a second set of eyes. You know, you need to be able to, there's always room for human error. There's always room for, you know, when we go into an elevator and we're surveying, God have mercy on anybody that comes in on me surveying an elevator, that's always the most awkward when the doors open and you've got your arms splayed out and you're just like, hey, what's up? You know, but like you have a lot of different things going on. You got the surveys in front of you, you got your tape, you know, and things like that. So something could happen along the way. We try our best to do the very best that we can, but a second set of eyes, and what's the age-old phrase, measure twice, cut once, you know? Yes. What I mean?
Yep.
So just have that second set of eyes on there just to be able to make sure that everything goes smoothly, because at the end of the day, we want to make sure, for us specifically, we're wanting to make sure that the install is the smoothest thing it could possibly be.
Yeah. And you know, to speak to the new reps out there, you know, the sales team is very familiar with my feeling on new reps. I love them. I think it's awesome. And here's why. We can teach them good habits. That's what we really take pride in, is teaching them good habits. And here's what I'll tell you for all of our audience out there listening. What we take great pride in is education. We want to continue to educate our customer. There's customers I've had for 10 years that every now and then I'll throw something out and they're like, wow, man, I didn't know that. The reason I say that is if you're in a bind and you have to go measure that cab immediately, here's what I'll tell you. Pick up the phone and call your rep and say, hey, can I FaceTime you here in a second? We measure this together. Every one of our sales reps are trained to the nines, I'm telling you, on being able to measure that, and we can walk you through it so you have no concerns. You know, what we've noticed and over the years of us being in business is anytime a new rep has to put their name down to take some measurements on some equipment that is very, very expensive, no one likes to do it. Yeah. Where I can let you know is, rest assured, we're here for you. We will answer those questions for you. As a matter of fact, the next picture I'm going to pull up is we're going to talk about obstructions. I just had these pictures sent to me yesterday and said, hey, Bobby, have you ever seen anything like this? And I've been around elevators for about 14 years, and I'm going to tell you, I've never seen this style of cab, which is rare. I've seen plenty that have the curved corners and the curved cove. If you notice up above, that's a cove. But
now, Bobby, before you go on, cove, it's a word we use a lot. Let's talk about what a cove is. Before we dive further in, let's talk about what a cove is, baseline.
Yep. So there's two different reasons for coves in any elevator that you run into. These are going to be about ceiling height, okay? They're going to be above about 84, 85 inches. And there's two different functionalities of them. One of them is, back in the 60s, 70s, and some in the 80s, would run fluorescent lights inside of a cove where it would hold a light for you, and it would shine up on the canopy to give you, nice bright lighting in there, if you will.
Yeah.
Another reason for
it's
a
like crown molding.
Very nice.
That's a great comparison.
Very nice. Now, just as Josh said, the second functionality of it is a lot of them you'll see that utilize them as nothing but aesthetics. This, what you're looking at here, is from the factory. It's a factory cab. Okay, so it came from the factory years ago, and I think my customer said this was installed 27 years ago. I thought it was older. He may have been talking about the interior, but the one thing I want to point out here is not only are we worried about a cove and we're worried about the corners being rounded, I'm also, a red flag that comes up to me from this picture is the area between the panels that are running horizontally. Those are not reveals. Right. They are part of the cab construction. So, you know.
So are those considered a cove?
Those would be considered to be an obstruction. And let me just define what an obstruction is.
Okay.
An obstruction is anything that sticks out of the elevation. So Think of it as in a height of a flat brick wall. And it's as smooth as silk all the way up.
Yeah.
That would be, there's no obstruction. But if you had maybe just a little bit of that brick that we've all seen that adds a little accent, that would be an obstruction. So what I want everybody to really sink their head into is no matter who you're buying your elevator interior from, you're going to run into problems if you have obstructions in your plane of your elevation. Okay. So I want everybody to pay really, really close attention. Is there anything sticking out of the wall? Can I take a piece of paper and run it all the way up and down the wall without it hitting anything? That's a good way to look. And I'll tell you what. Go ahead, Z.
I was just going to say, so cove is kind of like what Josh said, like some sort of crown molding, a top piece, something more at the top. Obstruction is anything in the cab that in the elevator that sticks out from the wall. Anything that is going to obstruct a smooth plane of plump. What's the word you use? Plum. Yeah. Plum surface.
Bobby, talk about some of the strange obstructions that you've seen.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've seen a lot.
Yeah, I've seen quite a few. So one of them that sticks out to me that if I wasn't careful, I would not have caught it, is I was at a hospital. I believe the cab was from the 50s. And we were in there looking, and the old elevator, keep in mind, it was already installed. So you got to remember this, folks, when you're out in the field, an obstruction doesn't hit you in the face like you think when the interior is in there. So I was looking at this interior, and I was looking, and I always take my head over to the side of the cab, and I look up between the ceiling and the cab shell wall. Okay,
He does look like a weirdo when he's doing that. Looks like he's listening to the elevator itself.
Yes. So,
one with the elevator.
But when I done that, here's what I noticed. There was an obstruction that was right above the top of the panels inside the cab, but it was above the ceiling line. So, note to self, if I wouldn't have put my head over to the side of the wall and looked up, I would have never have caught it, and we would have sold our customer an interior, and that would not have worked. It would have caused their crew to run into some problems. And believe it or not, it was a 1/4 inch by 3/4 inch straight line that was part of the cab shell for structural integrity. So think of it as all they done was bend that cab shell when they put it together to give it a little bit more rigidness on them sidewalls. And thank goodness I caught it, because what we ended up having to do is we needed to make sure that we follow the top of our panels going to that as well. Instead of doing our standard 2 inches above the ceiling line. Now, guys, over the years, you're going to find that a lot of people run that ceiling drop low to hide obstructions. That is like a red flag. If I walk into an elevator and I see a ceiling that's got about an 86 inch ceiling to floor, face of the ceiling to the floor, I know they're hiding something up there most of the time. And I just, you know, I had one recently that they hid the cove. My rep that is a veteran in the business, 30 plus years, he missed it too. He went and done the original field measurements. And then I went with him when we went and field verified. And if I would not, once again, I'm going to show for the people that are watching. I put my head up against the cab and looked up, and I seen a cove up there. So once we got to looking around, they purposely dropped that ceiling under that cove to hide it, and no one would have ever caught it. What you'll notice is, too, not always do those coves go on all four of your walls. That's where you get tricky. A lot of people want to measure the height of the cab. They'll go to the very back wall and they'll measure it all the way up. That's what happened in this instance. The coves were only on the sides. It was not on the back. So he got the proper height measurement, but he missed the coves because he didn't check it on the sides.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, and Z, I know this is embedded in your brain from all of our sales meetings, but one thing that I'll tell everybody is take your height measurement in two places. Take it on the back wall and take it on a side wall.
Yeah.
Here's why. Two things typically happen when we get wrong measurements, okay? And what I meant by wrong measurements is height. What happens is many companies done this, but I'm going to use an example of an old Dover cab. An old Dover cab on the canopy had these coves built into the canopy itself. So what that allowed you to do is put an old school T8 fluorescent bulb, you know, fixture up in there, and it wouldn't hurt the plane of the canopy itself. However, if you're not paying attention and you don't put your head over and look up, when you raise your tape measure to get a height, you'll run that tape measure inside one of them coves, you know, one of those coves, and it looks just like this. One of them coves.
Like a top hat, like a hat almost.
Like a hat channel. Hat. You're exactly right, Z. And they'll run their tape measure. So here's what's really cool. We design our surveys to catch those problems. We ask you what the height is on this wall and what the height is on this wall. So what's the height on the back wall? What's the height on the left wall? If you're coming up with two different heights, you need to get a flashlight and look up, because I promise you your tape measure has been up inside there. Typically, that measurement is going to be anywhere from 1.5 to 2 inches on that hat channel height. So if...
Which is a great tip overall. Take a flashlight with you. Because for those of you trying to visualize, if you didn't catch on how Bobby is looking up there, think like you're putting your ear on somebody's chest, like to listen to their heart. So he's doing that against the cab wall and looking up in between that gap between the ceiling and the cab shell itself, so he can see what's up there. And of course, a phone flashlight works fine, but if you get a real flashlight, that's what's going to
navigate sometimes.
It is, definitely. And it's not quite as bright as a real flashlight. So having that real flashlight is going to be the best way to really see what's going on up there. And plus, some of those up there are painted black, so you can't really see it super well. So to have a flashlight to really see well up there is going to be your best bet.
And a tip for everybody, too. A lot of times, I've been to a few of these, I'm going to say 25, you know, over the last 15 years, maybe, is when I look up in there, sometimes they'll run their perimeter ceiling gap so tight that you can hardly see. So what I do is I turn my phone flashlight on, and I'll take my camera and I'll put it above that ceiling light, and I'll take a picture of it and pull it down and look at it. What that's going to do for me, it's going to let me know what's above that ceiling.
I do a video a lot of times, and any gap I can, I'll move it just so then I can see as much as I can up there. And something too, just to note that, because Bobby talked about some of the ones, you know, it's integrated into the cab shell itself. There are some, and Bobby and Josh, feel free to speak on this. There are some obstructions in elevators that can be removed. They've been put in aftermarket after the fact, you know.
But
a lot of light fixtures.
Yeah.
Those sconce things, you know, that are like side mounted. See a lot of that.
And don't, the one thing I will tell you, and, you know, with Z, with you, you know, highlighting that, if you will, is I've had a lot of customers show me a picture of a cove, and they tell me Bobby, we're just going to remove that. And I have to be the bearer of bad news to go, I can tell by looking at it, it's part of the cab shell construction. Yeah. And unless you're going to pay your guys big money to sit there and cut that out with a grinder and backfill it with a piece, we need to design this cab to go around the coves. You know,
I just had one recently like that where initially got some pictures of the elevator, and in seeing it, there was an obstruction in the elevator. It was like this old cab and had this, it was a vent, like a horizontal vent, very kind of Great Gatsby era type of looking vent. And then there's also what's called a light cove, which is something that sticks out from the cab shell, and it allows for you to be able to put like a tube light or a T8 light, two different words for that as well, to be able to shine light up into the top of the cab or the canopy of the cab. And just through the pictures, it was just like, oh, we'll be able to remove the light cove and we'll probably be able to remove that vent. And I went there and looked and like got my flashlight, got my little step, so got a little ladder to go look inside. And I was like, this is a part of the cab shell. And if you, not saying that it's impossible to get rid of, but just like Bobby said, it'll be a long time grinding that down and, or whatever the case may be. And that's going to cause a lot of, you know, dust, and it'll just be a mess. So we actually, for that one, we were doing a different design, cab interior design, and we changed it to go around that vent. Just to be able to accommodate for it.
Well, and I think you bring up a good point, because I think a lot of our competition, they're just going to sell them the product.
Yep.
That, I mean, it's, and so a lot of times, you know, the customer or our customer will look at us and be like, well, you guys are almost talking yourself out of a sale. It's like, no, we want to make sure that we're actually partnering with you and alerting you on what mid labor there could be. That we see, because as we've said in other podcasts, a lot of the elevator contractors, they're not necessarily trained on interiors. It's not something that they spend a lot of time on. And that's what we do every single day. So let us be that extra set of eyes, as we said before.
Yeah, it may sound like we're talking you out of it, but like we've talked in previous ones, we're all about customer retention.
Yeah.
So we're all about making sure that you have a positive experience, and that whether you go with us or anybody, any other company, you and your team are prepared for the things that might happen along the way.
That's right.
Because nobody likes those surprises.
You know, we do have a lot of, I've got a couple real good customers, and I won't mention their names, but they have called me a couple different times, and they said, Bobby, unfortunately, we've got to go with another company on this. They respect whatever, but I've got a couple questions. How should I handle this? I'm still going to take care of them just like I would anybody else.
Yeah.
It all comes around for us. But obstructions, I've got a couple more. And I want to talk about it, because this is, you know, Z, this is just what I love. Okay. So I want to show you
give the people what they need.
Yeah.
They need tips to save money. That's what we're here for.
Obstruction number two, you're going to see come up. And what you'll notice here, on this particular picture, is you're going to notice that corner rounded reveal is what we call it. It is a cove that runs vertically, but what I want to share with you on this is you can create a new reveal for this. The proper way to do it is to bump it around on the press brake, and you bump it about every 16th of an inch to do it right.
What does bump it mean? For those of us who are not
metal
people, what does bump it mean?
Yeah, so bump it means you're going to bring the press brake down and you're just going to kiss it. And it'll it'll naturally
bump and kiss.
That's
But metal manufacturing is an intimate industry.
But what it will do is it will give you nice and curved, you know, by bumping it like I'm talking about, okay, and kissing it. You're just barely hitting it versus you'll walk in. And once I've said this, you will notice it. You will notice when you go in. A lot of companies want to do that in four.
Well, if I've been bumped and kissed, I probably would notice it.
Buy me dinner first, Lord. Well, I'm a married woman.
Well, but ours. Well,
what's another word for this, Bobby? Because it's another example of there are several words
radius,
for what this is.
It's a radius reveal is what they call it. Okay, a
or
radius.
Isn't bullnose another term people
bullnose,
will use?
Bullnose goes the other way. Goes
gotcha.
The
bullnose
other way.
Is horizontal.
Nope. Bullnose comes out to you.
Comes out. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It is.
So convex versus concave.
That's right. My science teacher would be happy right now. Yep. That's exactly right. But
I also feel like we're going to have to put together in the show notes a dictionary, a Bobby dictionary.
Bobbyisms.
Yeah, bump it, kiss it. There was the word adhere earlier. That's adhere, you know. So we'll incorporate that in the show notes too. Thank you, Juan. Take that note for us, Juan.
Yes, Juan. But what I want to point out is in this corner, we can build those for you, and so can our competition. But they are very expensive to do them correctly visually. They are expensive. So
I'm
two
so
things,
precise.
Yes, that yeah. we do is we ask or we. Highly recommend painting those a new color. You can paint them gray, you can paint them black, but you know, if you're wanting them stainless, just know that the process to do them and do them correctly are very expensive. So
there's so much room margin for error with you know.
So much. You know, and a lot of folks in the field it's really hard to get a true radius, you know, even if they're tracing it, it becomes messy. And that's one thing that we don't want our customers to feel is any pain in the field at all. You know, the one thing that we get a feather in our cap all the time on the feedback questionnaires we send out is loved it, fastest elevator to ever go in. You know, we take pride at that, and we want to stop or slow down anything that is going to hinder them in the field.
Yeah, absolutely. And just for the record too, like if you have, and we always encourage this in general, have a good relationship with a local metal fab shop. You know, most people already have that. Most, you know, like your supervisor or something will typically already have that. Some of those local fab shops will have no problem being able to measure these and put those in and allowing them to do that. But for the most part, as a sales rep, I would stay away from them. Just because it's so much margin for error.
Yes. And you know, the one thing I'm going to really point out on this is you're also seeing the cove up above. A lot of times when you retain those coves, we just recommend that you paint the coves and we'll set your new ceiling just as you see right here, right down level with your cove. Gives it a nice aesthetic, but I can assure you, don't not paint it. I cannot tell you how many cabs that we've seen the after picture and no one painted it, you know, even though it was talked about. Mm-hmm. That is a huge thing. Now, I want to show you this next slide here, our final one on obstructions.
Get the projector, the slide.
The overhead projector.
Yes. So
the transparencies.
Like click.
So what I wanna really point out in this view that was really important to me, if somebody just sent me this picture and just didn't get the angle that my customer did on this, you could very easily think that's a freeze. And that is a trim piece that goes up above the panels. A lot of times in cabs that have obstructions or they want to lower the panels themselves.
Another word for that. I feel like this episode has been had a lot of these, but another word that other people might use for freeze, top cap might be another word. It's anything that goes essentially, and Bobby, correct me if I'm wrong. It's any piece that goes, you know, from the top of the panels above the ceiling. A lot of times it's specifically, most of the time it's behind the panels, but can be in line with them as well.
Yep, that's absolutely correct. The good thing about our standard system, and even a lot of our custom high-end systems that we design, is what we personally like, and Josh does all of our layouts and designs of all of our new cabs. But early on, we were very adamant about Josh wanted those panels to go up above the ceiling line to give a nice fluid all the way. Seamless. You know, there's no end. Do you want to talk just a little bit about that, Josh?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people do use a freeze, and it's their attempt of crown molding. And it, to me, makes a modular system look modular. So with us taking it back behind the ceiling, it just gives it a clean, simplistic look. So, I've never been a big fan of the freeze myself. But we can do them, and we have done them, for people before. So,
yeah.
The, you know, just like I showed you on those curved reveals in the back, a lot of times the cabs that have a curved reveal in the back also have a curved reveal for your base. Yeah. It is all structural, so you're not going to be able to remove it. Once again, we typically recommend painting it. Believe it or not, just putting some new paint on it is not only going to save you money on the project and save your end user dollars, but it's also going to save a ton of time in the field. You know, get somebody to go ahead and rip all the interior out after you've done your demo, and you just do a quick paint before you go home that night. That next morning, your system goes in a lot faster on that.
Yeah. And that's why, like, the pictures and everything we've talked about, just they're so important, because if we can know this stuff ahead of time, it's just going to save so much pain, a potential pain, time, money, frustration that can happen. I wish I would have actually said this in the top half of this, intro to this. So Juan, if you could just edit this in, that'd be great. I'm just making Juan do all the things. But this episode is also, I got a thumbs up from Juan, so he's good. This episode also is, I hope there's some architects or consultants out there listening to this as well, because this applies to you guys as well. When you're dealing with a modernization, knowing these things ahead of time, this is something we're going to talk about. And Bobby, if you're not ready to talk about it, that's okay. But something I want to move to quickly is the more we can collaborate with the architects, with the consultants at the front end of the projects, and so that we can know what the cab construction, the existing cab construction is, the better this whole process is going to be, because we can work with the architect consultant to be able to actually design a system that's going to work for that specific cab shell. Bobby, I don't know if you want to talk about that now, or if you had anything else to talk about.
No, well, I could talk for four more hours on instructions. But I will move on to that, because some of our best customers that sell an obscene amount of interiors a year, they figured this out. They understand when they go in, whether there's a consultant, an architect, if they see that there's cabs in, they immediately pick up the phone, call me, email us, and they go, "Hey, Bobby, if you could get with John at ABC Architects, make sure and go over. He's wanting to put some items." And it can be as simple as this, folks. You don't know what you don't know. Architects and designers, their job is to make things aesthetically really appealing, to look really good. Mm. A lot of times they don't understand the codes and what's required and fire ratings on the inside of the cabs. A good example, and Z, I don't know if this was one of your jobs, but we had a customer, a large spec, it came in. They wanted glass panels from the bottom all the way to the top on the back wall.
Yeah.
I jumped up and down and said, you do not want to do that. I would love to have the money as far as glass, because we all know that's an expensive product inside an elevator interior. But I can tell you right now that I don't want that, because I'm not going to set the end user customer up for failure. That is why we do design sessions. These are so important. I don't care if you have one cab or you've got 30 cabs.
Yeah.
When we can get with the design team, your end user, and we sit down and we talk about it.
Yeah, just the earlier we get with them, the better, sure. And that's with anybody. I mean, end user, designer, architect, you know, just bringing anyone, bringing the professionals in on anything. You know, when we're getting ready to do a construction project at the office, I'm calling in the guy who knows the most about that specific thing and get him involved early on to help, you know, coach me on things that I may think I know. You know, there are a lot of those, but
we know.
I quickly realize there's not a lot. Oh, so.
The sooner Josh realizes that, the better off the rest of us will be. Yeah. It'll save all of us time and money.
That's right. Well, let me back up a little bit, because what I said, I meant no disrespect by it, meaning Josh said it a little bit better, and it's, you don't know what you don't know. And that's just the truth of it. You know, and when I say whether it's an end user that may be in their building every single day and they think they want glass, and the architect is like, yeah, man, we can do glass. When I say, hey, where does the UPS driver come with his two-wheel dolly?
Yeah.
Oh, they use this elevator. Why would put glass in there? You know, you know, we're very passionate about that. Maybe, you know, especially me, I probably have talked myself out of a couple jobs, and I'm being straight up honest about it. I really have.
I can tell you have.
Well, and it's always a touchy thing too. You know, we all have had those projects. I have a hospital. They want new interiors and they have glass currently and it's cracked. And the CEO is involved specifically on this one. And he's like, I really like the glass. I'd like to have glass again, but it's cracked. And the stretchers are what cracked it. Mm. And you're still a hospital. So, you know, trying to talk them and steer them away from it. And it's that balancing act of giving them what they want, but what can their cab, what does their clientele allow? And then to Bobby's point in this podcast, what does the cab show allow? You have to accommodate all of those things. And a lot of times, you know, people just have a one track mind. This is the look I want, or this is the color scheme I want, and trying to balance what they can have and what they need in their building is touchy. It's tricky.
I just had a design session this morning, and one of the comments that I said to the end user was this: sir, my job today is to help guide and steer you to the elevator interior that is going to not only fit your building and the traffic in your building, but also your budget. And I've tried over the years to start with that, because I want to be the devil's advocate. You know, I want them to question their thinking when I ask if they have mobility scooters and they say half the tenants here have mobility scooters.
Right.
Probably don't want to put glass on the back wall. I'm just telling you, you know. So it's
without bumpers.
That's right. And bumpers is a whole other thing. That Josh, you lit the fuse.
That's another podcast, Bobby. Sorry. That's another episode.
All right.
Josh, you're going to get him riled up on
ceiling, lighting, handrail, cladding. Just start going with all the different
things.
Oh, my God.
But I want you to know that think of this when you're thinking about, or your end user is thinking about a new elevator interior. If there's one thing you can take out of this whole entire podcast, this is this. Call your elevator rep immediately and send him some pictures.
Yeah.
Or her.
Absolutely.
Or her some pictures.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
So, you know, and one thing I would like everybody to do is call in 1-800-800-4960. Ask for a top 10 card to be sent to you, or shoot us an email at info@fabicab.com. Would love to just share that with you. Even if you use someone else. Yeah, call your rep. But even if you're you've either not done any business with Fabicab, we at least want to put our best foot forward and give you the tools that you need. A lot of people have good relationships, and we understand that without our good relationships with our customers, we wouldn't have it. But that don't mean you can't lean on us on some tools, for sure.
Yeah. And that top 10 card, I can't remember if you said this specifically, Bobby, but it's a top 10 tips for having a successful survey. So that's why we're saying it applies to any company that you use, it applies. Reach out, let us get you one of those, because it'll save you a ton of time and money in the long run. Well, like Bobby said, he can talk about this literally for hours upon hours. So we gotta wrap him up.
He loves it so much.
He loves talk about cab construction. Because honestly, like this topic goes on and on. We've run into some gnarly things. We've run into cardboard cab shell construction. The list goes on and on. So we won't get that far into the weeds, but at the end of the day, top things that you guys need to remember is, one, pictures. Just send the pictures to your sales rep. Even if you're reaching out to just info@fabicab.com to get your first initial quote, send pictures along with it. A lot of times you're at the site already to get some info on some other stuff that you're doing. So get some pictures. Let us take a look. Let us get involved in that portion, because it's a great insurance policy for you guys to be able to, for us to look at that. Speaking of insurance policy, another tip that goes along with that, like Bobby kind of, he kept touching on this at several points, but to solidify it, the horizontal system, which is the Gen 3 bracket that he was talking about, that can be installed in a skeleton cab without having to do anything. I always, and I know that Josh and Bobby, you both say this, like, horizontal system is your insurance policy.
Fabicab. Horizontal systems, every horizontal system.
We can't speak for those. We can speak for the ones that we produce and our Gen 3 brackets. But yes, that is a horizontal system insurance policy. We offer insurance here at Fabicab as well as... I don't know that we can do that. Juan may have to edit that out.
Well,
and I changed a note.
It'll be one long beep.
Well, I didn't do the whole thing.
I do, and Z, I just want to leave. I got one more thing to say, and then I'm done.
I bet you do. I bet you do.
I want to leave.
45 seconds.
I want to leave our customers and all of our listeners with this. We are experts at elevator interiors. Don't call us about a COP, electronics, or nothing else. But when it comes to inside that cab, you can rest assured that we've got the expertise here at Fabicab to be able to help each and every one of you through any problem that you come against. So,
absolutely. And with those other things, you can call us. We have lots of connections to other people who are experts in the industry, because we'll always direct you to them, because we believe in people being experts in what they do, and really great relationships. So we're going to wrap it up, guys. I know it was a brimmingly, exuberantly exciting episode about Josh's... They're actually not made up. Okay. Such a hard pee. But we appreciate you guys joining us for this episode about cab construction. We really hope that this allows you to save time, money, stress when it comes to your next cab installation. Like Bobby said, you get bit on one of these and you're never going to make the mistake again. We promise you. Let us be a resource for you. Let us be a free resource for you. And we hope that you guys have the most success on the cab interiors that you guys do in dealing with cab construction. So we hope to hear from you soon. But until then, guys, bye.
Bye-bye. Shake it, bake it. Hey, Z, stand up. Stand up and show the new gear real quick.
Oh, yeah. You want some merch, guys? This isn't for sale, but it's going up merch. Ba-ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba. I just still don't think we can do that, but I did it.
You did more notes than I did. Okay.
I wasn't sure what you were doing right there.
That's right. Link in the show description. Sorry, Juan. All right. Bye, guys.
That concludes another fabulous ride on the Going Up podcast. We hope you enjoyed the elevator tales, expert insights, and the unique camaraderie that makes our show a standout in the podcast world. If you've got your own elevator stories to share or questions about the vertical world, don't hesitate to reach out to us at podcast@fabicab.com. Also, don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Until next week, keep reaching for new heights, stay uplifted, and remember, when life takes you down, there's always an elevator to bring you back up. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you on the next floor.
Produced by Audavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.